Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
You did an awesome job. This is our Wednesday night preschool choir. Next Sunday, our Wednesday night children's choir will be singing with us. You guys did great. Do you think the adults could do those hand motions? You don't think so? All right. That was a no. If you are a guest in the room, it is our honor to have you here. We would ask you to take just a moment to tear off the registration hopefully you received when you came in. You can fill that out. Here's what we'll do. We're not coming to your house, but we have a gift for you. We'd love to send you in the mail. So if you'd fill that out so we can know, we just want to know how to pray for you and thank you for being here. No pressure. I promise we won't show up. I promise we won't. So if you'll fill that out, that would be great. I want to say if you're a guest online, we hope you enjoyed the preschool children, and we look forward to the rest of our worship service together. We'd like to know you're worshiping online with us. You can text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. That number's on your screen. It'll be there for a minute. Just text that word and that'll get you into a conversation, a text conversation with me later today, and I'll follow up and we'll see how we can pray for you. And just thank you for being here. So we hope that you are excited to be in the house of the Lord today. Today, our missionary of the week that we are praying for is the Bridge Ministries in Geraldine. That's a church plant that we help sponsor. Their pastor is Matthew Cole. So you'd be praying for the Bridge. And then the church of the week that we're praying for this week is a church in Gunnersville. We're praying for Lake City Assembly of God. Their pastor is Gary Kraft. And so we want to pray for God to move in power among them and among their church. This past Thursday, I had the opportunity to be a part of a prayer meeting with pastors from across our county of multiple denominations gathering together. And what was so special about that was, one, we celebrated the Lord's Supper, communion together. We've never had an opportunity to do that as a group of pastors. And then second was, I was so impressed and so thankful that the prayer time started, honestly, with just some prayers of repentance, in the sense that we don't want to be territorial at all, and that we understand that if God is going to truly reach Marshall County, He will do so through all of His people, not just people in one location. And so we're thankful for what He's doing, and we're thankful for that opportunity. And so we'll pray for those ministries as we carry on in worship. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. We thank You for the privilege to come and worship You. We thank You that we can let the children sing, and what a blessing it is to see them and be reminded that back in the back part of our worship area now, where our children are, Lord, to know that there will be so many kids back there who are finding out about You, learning about You, growing in You. We're thankful for that and for all the volunteers who serve them. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to gather together this morning already in our early service, and then in the time of Bible study, and now in this worship service together. God, my prayer is that You would have Your way among Your people in this place today. Father, that You will convict us where we need to be convicted. Father, that You will encourage us where we need encouragement, that You will admonish us where we need admonition. And Father, that everything we do would be to give You praise and glory and honor. So Lord, we pray for Lake City Church, that You would bring revival there. May 2023 be their strongest year of ministry ever. We're thankful for their ministry, and they have a rich history of ministry in our county. Father, we pray for the Bridge Ministries, the mission organization that we get to be a part of in Geraldine. We're thankful for Matthew. We're thankful for the leaders there. We pray that lives would be impacted, that people would come to know You through their ministry today. And then, Father, I take a moment now to pray for us in this room and us participating online. Lord, that You might work in our hearts. Father, that You might take us and transform us and mold us. Lord, the scripture says in Psalm 77, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember Your wonders of old. I will ponder all Your work and meditate on Your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works miracles. You have made known Your might among Your people. You, with Your arm, redeemed Your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. With our heads bowed, would you take just a moment and remember the deeds of old? Remember the day God spoke to you. Remember the day you received your salvation. Remember the grace He showed you all your life. Remember what He did in your family's life, what you've been praying for someone, and He did. Remember how He brought new life to a family member, a friend, a parent, a grandparent, you yourself. And to stop and declare together that You are the God who works miracles, and the same God from yesterday, today, and forever. So God, we ask for a miracle today, not for our benefit, but for Your glory. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You, that they could receive the miracle of salvation, that today You would give them new life as they receive Your gracious gift of mercy and new life. Father, for others in this room who have been walking in our own sinfulness, even though we might know You, we still find ourselves walking in our old ways. God, today we pray for a miracle of reconciliation, a miracle of renewal, of moving new in You. God, that You would do that in our lives. And we understand, as the scripture tells us, that all of this hinges on one person. All of this hinges on Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we sing to Him and about Him now. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? We will sing this together now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church, Let's worship together. Lift this in praise. Let's stand together and sing this to the Lord.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to Him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus
Jesus, all we need.
Lift it up, for He's the way.
For He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
This course,
should nothing of our efforts fail, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive.
To you,
to you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
His will.
His will.
One more time. All glory be to Christ. Lift it up. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever see. All glory be to Christ. Be seated, if you will, for just a moment before we can continue in worship. In Luke 17, it says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. In Matthew 6:14, it says, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In Mark 11:25, it says, whenever you stand praying, or how about whenever you stand praising, same thing. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as also has Christ has forgiven you. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other, Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. On and on we could keep going. The scripture is clear that our personal worship of the King, as we sing about our personal way to connect with him, to be in his presence, our personal way to live out the life he's called us to, and to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit is affected by our ability to forgive others. So I want to take just a moment, and not long, and I want to invite you this moment to stop and reflect in your own life. I'll be honest, and I don't mean this to sound weird or super spiritual, but I'll just tell you the truth. In praying throughout this building this week and in different rows and seats, praying for some of you by name, I kept feeling as if the Holy Spirit was prompting me over and over to remind myself, most of all, and to remind you that if we want revival, if we want a spiritual awakening, if we want God to revive our souls, he cannot do so when someone has a critical spirit. If we are critical in worship, the worship is null and void. If we are critical in spirit, even if we're doing the right things, the scripture says that our attitude matters. We see it over and over in the scripture. So can I ask you for just a moment to stop? We're going to be quick about it, but examine your own life. Do you have a critical spirit toward anyone? Now, I don't mean that it's something maybe everyone even knows about. Maybe you do and it's easy to repent, but maybe for you, it's just deep down inside, a seed inside of you. You're struggling to forgive a family member. You're struggling to forgive someone. You're critical about things that might even happen at church. You're critical about things that would happen in the workplace. You're critical towards a whole section or type of people in our society. If that's the case, friend, I want you to know you can pray all day long for personal revival. It's not coming. The scripture is so clear, the connection between us offering and extending forgiveness and us walking in the power of the Spirit. It's just clear. Now, we can make it complicated with 1,000 other things, and God can do what he wants, but God has shown us in the scripture, he doesn't tend to show us places where he steps over our unforgiveness to bring about a transformative move of holiness in our lives. And so if we want to be holy, we want to be set apart by him, we must stop and examine if we're critical. I'll confess to you today that I can have a critical spirit. It might not come out in my words for everyone to hear, but it can surely happen in my head and in my heart where I can think, well, I can't believe this. We couldn't do this different, or we couldn't do that different. Sometimes I can get worried in worship about simple things, and instead of focusing on the one who we are here to worship, I can get worried in the workplace that way. I can become critical of myself in such a major way. What about you? Do you have those issues too? I would invite you to take just a moment to bow your heads, with heads bowed. Do you want revival? And I don't mean, do you want the feeling of excitement when we sing? I mean, do you want personal holiness that spills out into how we share the gospel, how we live our lives, and how we honor the Lord? It does involve worship. It does involve preaching, but it really involves our living. Guys, my prayer is that we could all want to experience personal revival. If you've been in a rut, that God would do that in your life. If you have obeyed him for years, but yet you still just struggle sometimes in your own sin nature, that you would ask him to do that, that he would bring personal revival in you and in me. So would you take a moment? Are you struggling to forgive a parent? Would you repent and ask God to help you? Ask him to give you the grace to do it, because you know you don't have it on your own. Are you struggling to forgive something going on with a child or a friend, a coworker, a classmate? I don't know the case. Maybe you've just been bottling it up and nobody knows it. Would you stop and take just a moment to repent? Just a moment to ask God to wipe away in your life the sin that's there, to give you the ability to show them the same forgiveness he has shown you. Would you take just a moment and ask God to personally renew your heart and your mind? Would you ask him to make you more like him? Would you ask him to give you a spirit of praise? Would you ask him to give you a heart that sees people the way he sees people? Would you ask him to give you eyes that will see people the way he sees people? Would you ask him to give you a willingness inside of you that says, I will forgive the way he forgives, and I will show grace the way he shows grace? Will you ask him to give you a passion for his word, not just a desire to read it a little bit here or there, but a passion, a hunger for it where you need to take it in like nourishment? Will you ask him to fan into flame the revival fires that he started in your life the day he saved you, and you are continuing to be saved daily by the power of God at work in you? Would you ask him to do that work in your life? God, we want to know you in your fullness. And what I mean by that, Father, I want to clarify for those listening to this prayer. I know you know my heart, but my clarifying of that is this. God, I want to know you in your fullness in the sense that I want there to be nothing in my life that hinders me from worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I don't want there to be anything in my life that would put me at a place where I cannot be a willing, used vessel by you to do the things you've called me to do. God, I want to put my yes on the table and say, I will go where you tell me to go. I'll love who you tell me to love. I'll serve how you tell me to serve. God, I pray every heart in this room would do the same. Would you right now, friends? Would you pray and ask him to do that in your life? Now, the very one, as the scripture says, that is the miracle worker, he makes miracles happen. He can do the miracle work in your life and renew you and make you new in him like maybe it's never happened before. From the youngest to the oldest, we need revival, personal holiness revival, where we are made holy unto the Lord, where we repent, where we seek him. God, would you do that in me? Would you do that in the heart of every person here? You know this verse of this song? There are blessings you cannot receive until you know him in his fullness and believe. You're the one to profit when you say, together. Come on, sing it. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for seated. There's a song that Buddy and Carol are going to sing for us. And I want to set the stage for the song just a little bit. First of all, I know in Buddy's life, he shared a testimony in the 8:30 service even that God has brought great deliverance and healing in your life over the years. At the same time, I know that you and I have shared before and you've shared with the church that you had years where you wanted to live for the Lord and years where you ran from the Lord and years where we do all that. But God is so good and gracious and kind to us. And in all the times when we think, where is he? And is he going to forgive me one more time? Is he going to let me walk back one more time? Every time, there's Jesus. And he does that for us. We're going to read a scripture in just a moment that talks about the fact that Peter and the disciples were gathered together when Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection. And all of them were so excited. The scripture even says that they received that the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples at that time. And so they had everything to live for the Lord. But yet, because of decisions that Peter had made earlier, the night before Jesus was arrested, because he had denied him three times, he just didn't feel he could be used by God. He just didn't know if Jesus would forgive him and use him. So we find this passage days later where all the other disciples seem to be wanting to gather and move forward with the Lord. And what does Peter do? Peter's still not sure what God thinks about him. He's still not sure what Jesus thinks about him. So he says, I'm going fishing. So Peter goes fishing and he takes along some friends, and that's kind of what happens. By the way, there's a lesson there for you and for me, and that is this: people will follow you, so you need to help lead them to Jesus, not away from them. But the friends followed and they went and they were fishing and they didn't catch any fish, and this felt very familiar to the time when Peter was called as a disciple because God provided for him. And so as they're standing there, they look upon the shore and someone yells out, "Children, have you caught any fish?" They didn't realize it was Jesus. They say no, and he says, "Let down on the right side of the boat," and they caught a huge multitude, and it became very obvious that it was Jesus. And so Peter jumps now out of the boat. He's jumped out of the boat before and walked on water. This time he jumps out of the boat. He's trudging through the water, and as he's trudging through the water, he's trying to get to Jesus, and he doesn't know about what's going to happen, this beautiful encounter we're going to look at in a moment, but he just knows when he sees Jesus, he has to get to him. And so in the middle of that, in that horrible moment where he is running and he's going back to what he knows is comfortable and the troubles of his life, he looks up and he says, in a sense, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. And that's the scripture. If you'll turn to John 21, you will see that Jesus is there. So John 21, beginning in verse 1, it says this: after this, this is after Jesus has revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. What's the Sea of Tiberias? The Sea of Tiberias is also the Lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee. All three of those names represent the same body of water. And so here they are. He revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going to fish." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now skip on down, or let's just keep going, in verse 4. It says, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Friends, understand that Peter's faith had waned. He felt like because of his sin, because of what he had done, that there was no way Jesus was going to use him again. But this is the second time that God got Peter's attention through a large catch of fish. And if you're remembering things, I want you to remember this. Jesus has never run out of fish, but we sometimes run out of faith. It's the reality in our own lives. We can stop and think, there's no way God's going to use me right now. There's no way after what I've done or where I've been or the road I've been down. There's just no way. But every time, listen, Jesus has enough fish to take care of you. He has enough way to provide. And I also want you to realize that whatever your talents are, whatever your abilities are, these can never substitute for the power of God. You see, Peter had decided to go fishing because that's what he knew how to do. He'd not been a professional fisherman for 3 years. He had caught a lot of fish in his lifetime. But then when Jesus called him, remember how it happens. Jesus comes to Peter while he is in the boat, tells him to let down their nets for a catch. They catch a large amount of fish. He calls him to shore. He says, now you will fish for men. And so this incredible story takes place. He follows him for 3 years serving him. And so Peter, of all people, knew how to fish. But here's what we learn for the second time in the Bible is that Jesus is a better fisherman than anybody else. And he is, and he really is. And what I want to say to you in your life and mine is this. Peter went back to what he was comfortable with and what he knew how to do and what he was pretty good at. It was sort of strange that he would get skunked again this night, but that's what happened. That was all part of God's plan. But Peter probably, if he had kept on fishing day after day, eventually would start catching fish. He knew how to do it. But what I would say to you is this, that we often, if we're not careful, will operate and do in our own flesh because of the gifts that God has given us. We will do things even for ministry. We will do good things, the right things, but we operate in our own flesh instead of the power of the Lord. And I want you to understand that our flesh might catch a fish or two or three here, and we might call it good. But the King of the universe caught 153 fish in a moment's time. And what I would remind you of is this, no matter what you're doing in life, even if you're not in a crisis moment, if things are good, make sure you're not operating in your own flesh and your own abilities. We must never get to the place that we think we can pull off a worship service without King Jesus leading it. We must never get to the place where we think we can sing songs without Jesus. We can run the sound without Jesus. We can preach words without Jesus. We have nothing of value to say apart from him. Our abilities might get us in the door for a moment, but understand it's the power of God that keeps us in the presence of God. It's the power of God that keeps us living the way he would have us to. So I just want to encourage you that Jesus is a better fisherman than you. Whatever your skill set is, maybe for you, Jesus is a better storyteller than you. Jesus is a better parent than you. We need a parent in his power. Jesus is a better worker than us, employer, on and on we could go, but he does that in our lives. Let's keep going. Verse 9. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. So here's Peter. His faith is struggling. He goes fishing. He just wants to be comfortable and do what he knows to do. He doesn't know if Jesus is ever going to be able to use him again or not because he knows he denied him 3 times that night before his death. Maybe, I don't know if everyone else knew what happened. The scripture's not really clear if Peter came back and confessed to everybody what he did. The scripture's not really clear. Did Jesus tell everybody what Peter did? So as far as we know, being true to the text of the scripture, this was private between Peter and Jesus. Listen, for you and me, there are things in your life that nobody else knows have gone on. There are things happening in your life and in your heart and your mind that nobody else knows. And they don't have to know. But you need to know that Jesus knows. And that can frighten you for a moment, but I want to encourage you. And here's why. Let's look and see what happened. Jesus cooks him breakfast to set it straight. Look at verse 9 again. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Now, here's what's interesting. A little word study of the original Greek language. This has always been very interesting to me. The word for charcoal fire, that phrase, the word is anthrakia. And that word anthrakia is only used 2 places in the New Testament. Only 2. It's used right here in the other place, John chapter 18. What happens in John chapter 18? It's Peter warming himself over a charcoal fire at the very place he curses God and denies him. And so you have what would have been a unique smell. Everybody use your imagination and your nose for just a moment and your memory. Everybody knows what a strong smelling fire smells like. You have been around a fire pit or a fireplace or a bonfire where you had so much smoke on you that everywhere you went for a while that smell lingered, and until you washed your clothes smelled that way. Everybody get that smell of fire in your mind right now. Here's what's interesting. When I had COVID for the first time, and I have now had it four times, thank you very much. But when I had it the first time, I lost my sense of taste and smell. And so I have, for about 2.5 years now, had this burning. It'll happen 7-8 times a week. And just out of nowhere, I'll think something's on fire. And it's related to that from the time that I lost that sense of smell. And so it'll just have this burning smell that just shows up. And I'll literally, a lot of times, get up and look around. Is something on fire? You know, you check your pants. You check everything, you know. You just make sure nothing is on fire and to make sure everything's okay. And I've finally learned to quit looking, which may be dangerous, honestly. But I've finally learned to quit looking. Now, I'm going to confess something to you that I'm going to tell you. I don't know if I should tell this or not. I'm going to tell you, but don't think less of me. So here's weird. So the last time that I had COVID, and I hope it is the last time I ever have COVID, but the last time I had COVID, my sense of smell changed for a little bit. And this is going to sound so strange, and you're going to think that something's wrong with me, but I'm telling you what happened. So it went away for about a month. It was no longer the burning smell, but another distinct smell. Should I tell them or not? You're thinking already, don't tell them. This smell is, I'm gonna sound so weird to tell you, but so the smell is this. If you have a brand new portable toilet that's never been used, the chemical smell in that is that smell. Now, y'all are thinking, why is he telling us that? It's a very strange and unique smell, but that's what I smelled for a month. And so it would be very strange and outrageous. And so why am I telling you that? I have no idea now. I'm regretting it, actually. But anyway, it's back to burning now. It took a month and now it's gone. So back to that smell now. When it shows up, it'll affect your life. It affects how things taste for a little bit. It affects how things are. So now take that memory, that thought, and let's apply it to this story. So Peter, he's already feeling bad. He had to be. He went fishing. He's already, you know, we're having to make some assumptions, but he's not feeling right about his situation with the Lord. He doesn't know whether God's forgiven him or not. And so here he comes upon this charcoal smell. And I just can't help but think that he went back to, I denied him. I denied him. I denied him. And I imagine it was a little stinging. And then to start this whole process of Jesus showing Peter what he was doing, Jesus has fish laid out on the grill and bread. Now, what does that remind you of? When Jesus fed the 5,000, it reminds you of one of the most iconic miracles in all the Bible that Peter and the apostles were a part of. And in my mind, it's almost, and I don't know this, but it's almost as if Jesus was beginning the process of saying, Peter, I want you to be reminded what I can do. You seem to think I can't do for you what I did for thousands. You seem to think I can't do in your heart what you've seen me do for hundreds over the last 3 years. And so before we give Peter too hard a time, haven't you been in that same boat before? Have you not found yourself at a place where every once in a while you think, as much as you believe in the grace of God, as much as you believe that God can forgive anyone, as much as you believe that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, as much as you believe John 10:28-29 that says he holds you in his hand and no one can snatch you out once you know him, as much as you believe all those scriptures about him being in your life and holding on to you and securing you, yet somehow when we struggle with our sin or when we struggle in our circumstance, we are prone to be like Peter and doubt and think maybe I am the one exception to the rule of God in the scripture. We'd never say it, but we sometimes think maybe I just don't know how God could forgive me after what I've done. But friends, you are not the exception to God's grace. You are not the exception to God's mercy. When he said whosoever, he means whosoever. When he calls us to a grace-filled life, he offers that for all of us. And so Peter then sees this, and this miracle is about to take place in his heart. Now, he saw a physical miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. Now a miracle of kind of rebirth, regeneration is about to take place in his life, renewal, because Jesus has a hard conversation with him. Let's look and see what Jesus says to him. So if you will, look down to verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to him, Simon Peter, Simon son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter now was grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. There's weight in those words, isn't there? Jesus has asked him three times, do you love me? Peter denied him three times. Peter looks at him and says, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death Peter was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. I love that. So what do we see here in this passage? Peter's denied Jesus three times. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Three times. It was painful. It was intimate. It was convicting. It was powerful, and it was gracious. And can I say to you that your convictions, if you have personal convictions that the Holy Spirit convicts you, that is an act of grace. It is not an act of punishment. It's an act of grace, because God wants us to be convicted so that we can repent and be made right with him. If God has disciplined you in some way in your heart and mind or body, I want you to know it's an act of grace, because God loves us enough to bring us to a place of repentance to come back to him. So think about the irony here and what it is saying to us. Jesus first calls Peter 3 years earlier and tells him, you're going to fish for men. Now, after Peter has lived for the Lord for 3 years, done some crazy things, denied the Lord three times, and now is dealing with his own unbelief, or at least not knowing how Jesus feels about him, Peter is not told by Jesus to go fish for men. Instead, now he says this, Peter, you're going to be a shepherd. What do you mean? How does he say it? He tells him three times, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And then he says, follow me. So what honestly Peter thought was some kind of difficulty and that he went through, and it was, where he went from being a man who was a fisher of men, and now Jesus is saying your role is changing. You are not just going to fish for men and lead others to Christ. You're going to be a shepherd over my people. You're going to shepherd my lambs, mine. In a sense, in some ways, he was saying, I'm allowing you to have an even more full ministry, a larger ministry. I'm taking you to something different. And part of that is an understanding because of the sin and where he's been. Now, for the rest of us, we would think there's no way God could use us if after what we've done and if we had denied the Lord, but not Jesus and not Peter. He says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And from that point forward, Peter is radically transformed into one of the key leaders of all Christianity. Can you think about it? How years later he had to remember those words, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. I'll show you how he remembers it. A few years later, Peter writes one of the books of the Bible, not something that any of us have ever done. And Peter says these words in 1 Peter chapter 5. Listen to what he says to leaders of the church. He says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Peter says, I am a partaker of God's grace. I've received it. And he probably thought back, I'm sure, to what he went through. Now listen to what he says. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I love it. I can't help but think that as Peter is writing these words, telling these leaders, you will shepherd the flock of God, and the chief shepherd is coming. What's he hearing in his mind? vine, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. He remembers that he was restored and made new by Jesus himself. The very one he had cursed, the very one he had denied, was the very one who in grace said, I will use you for my glory. And it is not about your past. It's about who I'm making you to be. And so, friends, I want to encourage you in that way just the same. Maybe for you, you feel like Peter. You feel like it is unlikely God is going to use you in power. You feel inadequate to even be a believer, much less someone that can be used by him. I want you to understand and hear these words that Jesus might even say to you, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. It was God's way of restoring Peter. And I believe today that he would want you to know that no matter what you've done, and I pray when we feel conviction that we will repent and make things back right and new with the Lord. But no matter where we've been or what we've done, God can and will and chooses to use us for his glory. I've said this hundreds of times, probably, maybe not 100, but close to it from this pulpit over the last 12 years, and that is this. God doesn't see you for what you once did. He sees you for who he's making you to be if you're a child of his. He's not stuck in the past where we often get stuck. He is making us into who he's called us to be. So what about you and your life? Maybe for you, you relate a lot to Peter. Maybe the very thing you have told God a dozen times you never do again, you did again this week. Maybe the very thing you said, I will never walk down this road again, you walk down that road again. Maybe the old you wins out over the new you so many times that you just can't really believe that God could use you anymore, or certainly not empower you by his Spirit. Well, if your sin or your circumstance has caused you to doubt God's heart for you, I want to encourage you right now to make a breakfast appointment with God. I want to encourage you to smell the aroma of your failures like Peter did. I want to encourage you to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to change our mind, change our heart, and change our direction. To say, God, I changed my mind. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to live for you. I want to encourage you to receive the grace of God and what he is at work doing in your life. Maybe it's to confess our inability to understand how he would ever use us again, but to realize that he offers that grace freely to you and to me. So somebody here today needed to hear that. Somebody has been stuck in their past, or maybe you're trying to walk new in Christ, and you too, because you've been saved, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. But still, even though Peter had been given the Holy Spirit at this time and was still struggling, you still struggle because of sin or circumstance. Now, I don't know which it is, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad or call you out, but I want to say you need to figure out which it is. If there is sin in your life that is causing you to not feel useful to the kingdom, I want to encourage you to repent of that sin and to change your ways. If it is circumstance in your life that causes you to doubt, I want you to understand you may not can change your circumstance, but you can ask God to help you trust in the one who carries over all those things and works over all those things and provides over all those things. He can. And so I encourage you to ask him to do so today. So that's the first important thing I want you to learn. The second I've already said, I'll just hit it and we're done. And that is this. If you have been succeeding in things in life on your own, Peter the fisherman, I'll go back to fishing. Don't know what to do, so that's what I'll do. If that's you, listen, I want to encourage you. If things are going well in your life, make sure you are walking by the faith of God and not just in your own abilities alone. Remember, Jesus is still the best fisherman. He's the best parent. He's the best student, the best employee, the best employer. I encourage you to make a renewed commitment to walk in the faith of the gospel and who he is and what he's doing and his ways and his truth. Listen, if we want personal revival, we must walk in his ways. If we want personal holiness, God has brought it unto us by his grace and mercy, and now we can seek to live it out and rest in that and walk in the ways he's taught us to. So friends, I encourage you in that way. I want to encourage myself to live that out. Would you bow your heads with me, with heads bowed for just a moment? How do you relate to Peter? How do you relate to his, we're having to make assumptions, but either his sadness or his worries, his concern? I don't know exactly what it is, but how do you relate to him? Would you take just a moment to ask God to do a mighty work in your heart and to help you to walk in that grace just as sure as if he had cooked you breakfast and asked you three times to feed his lambs, to tend his sheep, and feed his sheep. Will you make a renewed commitment to follow after him? Maybe things have been great, but you realize you've sort of been operating in your own power. And we read that passage in the scripture in the Psalms where it says that he is a miracle-working God, and he is, and you realize that everything you've done has been in your own power. Can I encourage you for just a moment to ask him to take your gifts, abilities, your talents, and to use those for his glory and his good and to do what he will in your life? With heads bowed, maybe you're here though and you need to give your life to Jesus. You see, Peter's forgiveness was because of sustaining grace. And that same sustaining grace is at work today. And God offers it to you today. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, right now you can stop and say, Jesus, I've tried life on my own. I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I change my ways. I want to follow you, God, by your power. I can't do it, but I'm asking you to change me, to save me, to make me new. Something along those lines. Would you just give your heart to him and receive his gift of salvation today? If you do that, I'd love to know it. Scripture's clear. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we can be saved. Come confess that today. Let us know you're giving your life to him. Maybe for you, God's calling you to something else. Maybe you want to come and pray. We mentioned praying for our family members and friends earlier. Maybe you want to get on your knees here during this song and pray for them. Maybe you want to pray for personal revival in your own life. Maybe you want to walk in the forgiveness and grace of God and say that you're not going to put yourself on a shelf when Jesus hasn't put you on a shelf, and you want to be used by him for his glory and his kingdom's purpose, and you'll seek to live that out. Whatever God is saying to you, would you respond in the way he would have you to? Father God, we give this time of ministry to you. We'd love to pray for friends. We'd love to pray for family. We'd love to pray for each other. Father, I would love to see someone give their heart to you right now and publicly declare it. Father, if you're calling somebody to be a part of this faith family, I don't know what you're doing, but God, we're asking whatever you do that we would respond the way you would have us to and no other way. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.